Hockey Central is brought to you by Lexus on the Park at Leslie and Eglinton.
The best NHL analysis and insight. It's what's on the lunch menu. Eat up. You're listening to Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Wrapping up the final Friday of the NHL's regular season, it is Hockey Central presented by Lexus on the Park. Playoff preview show comes your way on Monday night at 8 o'clock local time. Two-hour extravaganza. And then we will launch the Stanley Cup playoffs with Hockey Central on the road, either in Montreal or Tampa. Where do you want to go to first?
Well, don't forget.
Let's go to Montreal.
Yeah. Don't forget we have 11 o'clock on Monday as well, Eastern.
Oh, yeah.
What are we working? Oh, yeah.
Are we doing that, too?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the press conference.
Yes, 11 to 1.
AM.
So
I thought we settled that yesterday.
The Royal.
Is there cots being brought in for the guys or what?
11 a.m. Monday
catering,
morning.
Catering, even better.
That would be a big start. Speaking of catering, can we get the Boston pizza earlier? Because I'm bolting here for the airport right after
Sportsnet,
the show.
Sportsnet Ontario, I believe, carrying the introduction of Brendan Shanahan at 11 a.m., Monday morning, and then we will just segue into Hockey Central at noon on Monday. Shanahan named president of the Toronto Maple Leafs. The general manager, Dave Nonis, will stay on. And in related news, Shanahan immediately relinquished responsibility for overseeing the league's Department of Player Safety. And that role now belongs to former Winnipeg Jets, Stephane Quintel.
It probably should have been relinquished when he started interviewing for the job, if the truth was known. And maybe it was. It probably was. I suspect it probably was. Tough to interview for an NHL job and to be doing discipline around the league.
Well, you know, it's a lot more effective, Brownie, if you actually pass the things over. Like, risk going on camera.
He's trying to get on
the information.
TV.
Passing us our playoff race sheets. So, Louis Jean's going to join us in a little bit, chat about Montreal Canadiens and their playoff appearance representing Canada. It's happened six times where the Canadiens have been the only Canadian team in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And do you know how many times they've won the Stanley Cup?
Six.
So, this is a very solid omen. So
and we should mention that several of those 6 years, there were probably only one other Canadian team in the league at the time, or maybe two.
And are you insinuating we're going to be on the road for 6 weeks?
Eight.
And then a week
of
the draft.
Four rounds.
So there's nine.
I don't do the draft. I didn't do the draft last year.
Oh, I didn't do the draft last year either, but I'm doing it this year.
We'll meet on that after.
Yeah. So 9 weeks. 9 weeks on the road.
I'll tell you what. Canadians could come out of the East. They have as good a shot. I mean, I'd look at Boston, as everybody does, as the favorite, but they have as good a shot as anybody of coming out of the East.
Well, it's
and so, they've beaten Boston.
If you don't play Boston, you any round could be an upset. You know, I mean, you got Philly, Rangers, Columbus, Detroit. I mean, any of those teams are capable of knocking off better teams.
And I know you guys had Mike Babcock on the other day. I wouldn't want to see Detroit.
No. No, imagine if you got a Pittsburgh Detroit first round. That could be a pick'em series.
Exactly.
You know, if Detroit get the goaltending and they get a break on Zetterberg. It didn't sound like Zetterberg is going to be back by the sounds of Mike. He didn't rule it out, but he certainly wasn't overly confident. But
I have an update for you. Columbus Blue Jackets are going to the Stanley Cup playoffs. They have two games left. They are trying to pass the Philadelphia Flyers for an opportunity to face the New York Rangers in the Metropolitan Division as opposed to qualifying as a wild card team. But they will participate in the Stanley Cup playoffs minus Nathan Horton.
Yes.
Who has an abdominal issue. He's out 6 weeks thanks to surgery. So no Nathan Horton.
Well, they played a large chunk of the season without him. So
unless they go win a round or two, three, he's not going to be
three.
Back.
Yeah.
And they're in a dogfight. They've got they're at Tampa, at Florida, and Philly's got Carolina at home, and I believe at Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So it's going to come down to I'm not sure who has a tiebreaker. Do Columbus have the tiebreaker on that one? Do we know?
It's Philly right now.
It's in your sheets.
So Philly has the tiebreaker. Okay.
But But that could change based on what you do, the row, with the two games left for each
and
club.
Detroit's right there as well, though they don't have the tiebreaker as well.
They could jump a wild card spot, but they can't move up into a divisional scenario like the Columbus Blue Jackets can.
Yeah, they can just get in the number two slot of the wild card.
But how Tampa critical
Bay,
is
if Tampa Bay wins out?
But that's Boston.
They get home ice.
Boston or Pittsburgh at that point, and that's a big jump.
So you got Tampa Bay in critical games, trying to get home ice, which is going to be real important in that Montreal series. But for Columbus to play Philadelphia, the Rangers, instead of playing Boston Bruins in the first round,
well, they would get
monumental.
They would get the Rangers if
they would get the Rangers. Yeah. Because they'd move ahead of Philly.
Yeah. So, but here's the scenario. If they went out.
But that's Rangers versus apart from Boston. That, to your point, that's huge.
Yeah, totally. But
how about the storyline, though? Rick Nash against the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah. Yeah. And Brassard and Dorsett and more. There's five of them there. Five of them with the Rangers.
And a draft pick.
Rick Nash against the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Call the pick.
Oh. Nasher's hoping that doesn't happen.
Why?
He'd just as soon play Philly.
Really?
So he doesn't have the aggravation of, you know, the
whole spotlight
thing.
He doesn't like.
Yeah.
So Brendan Shanahan is the president of the Toronto Maple Leafs. We were talking about it yesterday. He said there was an offer on the table. Take it if it was his, if he wanted it. And apparently he does, because he signed the deal. Tell me what this means to the player on the ice. The fan is interested in wins and losses. And that the players have that control, that influence.
Well, let's just give you an example of John Davidson and Kekalainen going to Columbus, okay? Since they've been there, they've made one trade. They acquired Gabrick, and they gave up Brassard, Moore, and Dorsett, and they brought in Nathan Horton as an unrestricted free agent. That's essentially the moves they've made. Signed Como and a couple of smaller ones. But they feel there was a culture change by those guys coming in, you know? So so the player movement is, I know, and I get Kekalainen's drafted, so that's fine too. But they didn't really, haven't changed the group, okay? Bobrovsky was there before, and the Nash trade had been done by Scott Housen. But they seem to be hanging their hat on that there's a culture change, a different feel in the organization.
And is there?
I don't know that. That's what they're sort of hanging their hat on, and I think
lost a tiebreaker in the playoffs last year, and they're in this year.
And I think that's good. If JD and his group brought that in, that's a positive. There's a change in who's in charge, and that's I guess a real important thing, because we always hear about culture, and they're trying to change that. So that's fine. So what more does Brendan bring in than that? That's all he can bring at this particular point. I look at the Toronto Maple Leafs and I say, okay, I think they need a number one centerman and three defensemen more than they need a president. Then another layer of management. I mean, they've got, two or three assistant GMs, and they got a GM, and they've got the Lywicki mystique there that's supposed to be this big mystique that's supposed to be changing the culture of winning an MLSE. But Brendan now... It's starting today. He's judged like all the rest of us that have been in the business. Not on his Hall of Fame career anymore, which was marvelous. Great player. Winner. All those things. Today he's judged on wins and losses. Strictly wins and losses. I know he's the president, but it is going to be strictly wins and losses that he's judged on. And that's the only way he can help the Leafs is if he helps them win more.
I suppose it's... To some degree, and not entirely, but to some degree, I suppose it's similar to when the Leafs brought Ken Dryden in many years ago as the president. Not the general manager, but as the president. And the feeling was that obviously he'd come from the Montreal organization that had the rich history of success, and he'd won multiple Stanley Cups, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And to Doug's point, that he was bringing that different attitude, that different mindset of how teams were built and how organizations were run to this organization, and that it would offer some kind of a culture change. So maybe there's a similarity in that regard, is that you're bringing him in as president. he comes in having been with good organizations in terms of, you know, certainly with Detroit winning multiple Stanley Cups, having worked under Lou Lamoriello in New Jersey for many years, though that was a long time ago. And maybe he just brings in a different mindset, and maybe it does. It is something that resonates within the players and the organization. I don't know, but I think that's the most obvious thing. And then beyond that, he's clearly a hockey guy. Whatever insights, I guess, he can share with the general manager, you have to figure out how that hierarchy works is going to be the big question on Monday.
And how did the Dryden, Mike Smith, Pat Quinn scenario play out at the end? They weren't speaking to each other, basically, at the end.
They had some issues there. They did have some success.
Yeah, but they at the end of it, they weren't none of them, weren't they all not speaking?
They weren't playing nice in the sandbox.
So that, and that's the other thing, like what effect Dave Nonis is staying on, which I'm happy about. But Dave Nonis's job dramatically changed yesterday. It dramatically changed because now Shanahan, as you said, perceives himself as a hockey guy and now is a hockey management guy. So every trade, every player acquisition will be run by him and scrutinized by him and the final call by him. So instead of Dave having to go and just get a stamp of approval from Lewicki, now he's got to get a stamp of approval from...
Or does he? I mean, that's...
No, he does. There's no way he doesn't.
Well,
no way Shanahan's coming here unless Nonis reports to him.
No, he's going to report to him, Doug, but my point being, and it may be, maybe I'm making a stupid comment here, is that...
We'll be the judge of that.
Thank you very much. And I've been known to do it, so there's ample precedent here for just saying something stupid. But... could he possibly come in as the president and say, you're the general manager, you make the decisions, you want to bounce stuff off me, I'm here to offer advice, but I'm not the one who's making the final call, you are. So if he comes, if Dave Nonis says, I'm coming in and I want to trade Dion Phaneuf, mm-hmm. and I've got, here's the deal, he says, I don't like the deal, but it's your call. Or does he say, you're not doing it?
That's interesting. I suspect it's going to be Dave Nonis wouldn't get to the point of going to Shanahan and saying, I've got an opportunity to do this deal. I would suspect Shanahan would be involved in it from the minute it's discussed. So that would...
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't disagree
because
with that.
Because let's not make any mistake. Shanahan is coming in here as a hockey guy. I believe that. I know he's the president, but I believe he's coming in as the hockey...
But I kept reading he's going to be involved in the 100th anniversary celebration.
Yeah,
he's organizing the parade.
Like, who cares about that stuff? I mean, come on. He's going to be involved in marketing? What the hell does he know about marketing? Except himself. He does a good job of that.
And that's why I say, if that's the job definition, then it's closer to the model Ken Dryden had mm-hmm. than the model maybe a John Davidson has.
Yeah, but I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it.
No, but I don't disagree.
But I think it'll be more of Shanny... wants to be involved in every aspect of the hockey. Why would you bring him in if he wasn't going to be?
Yeah. Darren Millard, Doug McLean, Scott Morrison here at Hockey Central, presented by Lexus on the Park. We'll get to the Colorado story in just a moment as well, but continue to discuss Brendan Shanahan's appointment as president of the Toronto Maple Leafs. I want to throw some scenarios.
Just one other thing. Do you think that the Leafs need him to help them with their marketing? Or no. With their corporate partners? I know he can be a valuable guy to go out and shake hands, but seriously, they need him with... I guess.
And Scott Morrison just started the Dion Phaneuf's going to be traded.
Yeah.
Rumors with that comment.
Yes.
I want to throw some...
Well, somebody did throw out the notion that it'd be easier to take away the C with the new president.
And I want to go... That was
did
me.
You mention that?
Yeah. I want to throw out some scenarios.
I don't know why it's hard to take it away.
Is And I'll start with Dion, now that you brought that up. Is it more or less likely that they take away the captaincy from Dion Phaneuf, now that Brendan Shanahan has been named president?
Everybody's fixated on the C. I don't think it didn't seem to affect his game over the first 60 games, but it's become a burden over the last 20, and I don't get it.
It's been a burden 2 years ago, last year, and this year, when you collapse the way they did.
That's not one guy.
No.
But that's your leadership group, and he's the head of that leadership group.
No, the head of your leadership group is the coach.
Okay. So less more
the general manager.
The general manager, coach, and then the guys.
So more or less likely that they take away the C with Brendan Shanahan's arrival.
Well, here's...
I think it's more likely.
Well, here's what I would suspect it will happen. I don't know if it's a problem. I didn't agree when Dion was named captain. I made that very clear at the time. I didn't think it was the right choice. And I told Dion to his face that I thought he should focus on his game, fixing his game instead of having that added burden. Okay?
I don't want a biography. I want an answer.
No, I'm giving you the background because it's important. And whether the question is, and you don't know if he should have it taken away. You don't know that.
I'm saying it's more likely.
But you don't know if it should be taken away. So the way it should be dissected is the general manager and the coach should discuss with the new president, do we have a problem with our leadership? Is that a problem? Is there leadership in the dressing room a problem? If it is a problem, and if Dion's a problem, if he is a problem, and I'm not saying he is, I'm just saying they should know. Carlisle, Nonis, and Shanny should know if it's a problem. And if it's a problem, take it from him. Don't worry about hurting feelings. Don't worry about how he's going to react. Make the change. If it's a problem. And if Carlisle and Nonis don't think it's a problem, then he doesn't lose the seat.
So more or less likely.
I think
it's more likely if it's, to Doug's point, if it's a problem, if it's something that's being contemplated, it's more likely to happen because you have new, quote unquote, upper management leadership. Right. The ability to do it and not worry about and feelings and everything else is there. Does that mean it's going to happen or is it more likely to happen?
I'm not advocating one way or the other.
No, me
neither. I'm just looking at the tea leaves and I'm saying this is more likely with Brendan Shanahan, this historic leader, winning hockey player.
Yeah, there's a new sheriff in town.
And he's
is he still a sheriff?
No, he gave up his badge.
Okay.
He's won at the Olympics. He's won at Stanley Cups. And he's been part of great teams.
Has he ever been a captain?
Leaders. I don't believe no.
Assistant, for sure.
Was he a captain in Hartford?
I don't know.
Or St. Louis?
I don't know.
So you bring in this guy.
Yep.
He's going to make some changes.
Yep.
You're not coming back with the same group. So that's why I say it's more likely.
And let me tell you another scenario. I hope, and if Carlisle is fired, I think it's the wrong decision, by the way, to fire Carlisle. I don't agree with it. They should fire him.
Less likely that Randy Carlisle's fired.
If there's a new coach. No, what I'm saying is if there's a new coach, that also changes the dynamic of the captaincy.
Shanahan's introduced Monday morning, 11 o'clock. We'll have it for you on Sportsnet. Is it more or less likely that Randy Carlisle is removed as head coach because Brendan Shanahan has arrived here?
More likely.
Probably too. More likely, yeah.
And I agree with Doug. I don't think that's the right way to go, but it's more likely to happen given that scenario.
I think what I don't like about, and I know the fans are clamoring for Randy's head, which is always the case, but I think there's some players that should pay a price for what's happened here the last few years.
Accountability.
And if you fire the coach, you're letting a lot of guys in that dressing room, that so-called leadership group in that dressing room, off the hook. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it because they're whining about Randy. They were whining. That dressing room was whining when that team was winning this year. Okay? So again, it's going to be Nonis saying to Nonis is going to have to fill Shanahan in on his thoughts as well as Lozell and Poulin. They should have the pulse of this dressing room. They should have the pulse if Randy should be fired or not. I don't believe Nonis will fire him.
No.
But if it's not Nonis's call, it may happen.
This is a team that potentially could lose 13 of the last 15 games.
I know.
Of the regular season.
I know. Same as what happened with Wilson.
Shanahan's the president.
They're going to do the same thing with two different coaches. So that should tell you something.
And who was the coach before Wilson?
Paul
Maurice.
I mean, how many times do they let these same... Anyway, look, I'm telling you what, I think that this core group on this hockey team has to toughen up. I think if there's one problem with this core group of this hockey team is that mentally they're not ready to become key leaders in a winning atmosphere.
Do you think Brendan Shanahan...
We talked about, just one sec, we talked about this just before I went to air, and it's the most damning thing a coach can say, and it was the most accurate thing the coach could say last night, is you put a kid... by comparison to all our ages, a kid in goal for his first NHL start and you don't show up.
Against the
29th best team in the National League.
29th best team.
Yeah. And you don't show up and you hang the kid out to dry.
And I gave up 40, what was it, close to 40 shots?
Is that
shots?
The coach's fault or does that speak to some of the character within the walls?
Incredible character flaws have been exposed in this team.
Oh. And that's my own point.
Maybe more so than last year, maybe more so than the year before.
Okay, so I'm saying this, and I know I'm going to get ripped for this. I am not discarding a Stanley Cup winning coach for what has happened with this year. I'm not. I think you've got to say, okay, well, who are we going to bring in? We're going to bring in Kirk Muller if he happens to get fired?
Yeah.
Are we going to bring in...
Are they a coaching change away from being better?
Yeah.
Well, I think
you
wait to see what happens in the playoffs.
Be careful.
Who might be available.
Anyway,
there's Brendan Shanahan.
But who's coming in that's a decided upgrade? Whatever.
Yeah. You could argue Dan Bylsma, whatever.
If he's fired.
They stumble. Yeah, you're right. You're still bringing
fired
in a guy
for
who's
a reason.
Fired for a reason.
Who had Malkin and Crosby?
Yeah, and didn't succeed.
He may, though.
If it
he
happens.
Did win a cup. But so did...
Does Brendan Shanahan...
Can he toughen this group up?
Yeah. Can he walk into that room, speak to them at training camp or have a meet with the players during the summer and get more out of them than we've seen? Can you influence or change character?
No. No.
In that regard.
No, but you can change character if you force them to toughen up.
But that's what I'm asking. Can he do that?
Yeah. Well, it's like... Do you know how many times a player walks into a general manager's office and at the end of the meeting, it's a coach wine session? And if as a manager, you let that happen, you got problems. You got to snuff that out. And you guys know it better than I do, the whining that went on in that dressing room this year, guys. You know it.
No, I know, yeah.
You know, we know. So I just think that the core group.
Randy's not a popular
coach.
The core
group here are good hockey players. I'm not questioning whether they're good hockey players. I'm questioning whether they're mentally tough enough to really become winners.
So can Shanahan improve that, or does Nonis have to change that?
I think it's up to all of them. I think it's up to the management team to do it. I really do. And Brendan has got a background of being a winner and a tough, hard-nosed player. I mean, Brendan Shanahan played the game the way every coach loves it to be played.
Who's got a bigger challenge as president and president of hockey operations? Trevor Linden, who was introduced?
Not even close.
This week? Or Brendan Shanahan?
Oh, not
because
close.
They both have to make.
Trevor's got to find a general manager.
Well, he's got to find a general manager, so maybe that's easier because he can hire his own guy. And number two,
or harder,
they both have decisions on the coach.
Brendan's is tougher because he could make their team. In other words, their team's not very. Their team looks to me like it could start to slip dramatically. You know what I'm saying,
Trevor.
No, I'm saying the Canucks look like they have a team.
You said Brendan. So
they're on the back nine.
It looks like they've got a team that could start to slip. You saw slippage with Burrows. Can he get it back? You saw slippage with the Sedins and injury problems. Can they get it back? You don't have a number one goaltender per se. I mean, I see some real challenges there. So I think Trevor's got a tougher goal.
And he's got to find a general manager. Yeah. That's a huge hire.
Yeah.
You're asking big things. Of two guys
totally.
Who have never been in an NHL front office.
And people, I love when they start comparing. Stevie Yzerman worked for Kenny Holland for 7 years, okay? Joe Sakic worked for a couple of years for Colorado. Cam Neely worked for 4 years with the Bruins before he became president. You know what? Shanny has worked a couple of years at the league office in league management. You know, it's a learning
in the
curve.
Game, but he's been engrossed in the game, whereas Trevor
totally
hasn't been
I agree.
Around the hockey
so,
world day to day.
And Shanny's had lots of contact with GMs over the last few years. So, but there's still with Brendan, there's still going to be a dramatic learning curve here to walk in and all of a sudden be in charge of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I know he's got the support of MLSE, and that's real important. I would never underestimate that. But there's still going to be a monumental learning curve for Brendan Shanahan to get his hands around what goes on with an NHL team.
But he doesn't have to walk in and necessarily put his fingerprints all over it.
No,
because he's got a staff.
He's got a support group there.
Yeah.
And Nonis
established with a very good general manager, or I think a very good general manager, whereas Trevor's got to create his own organization, basically. Certainly from the top.
What I think is a good situation for Brendan is that Nonis is a thorough, thoughtful, sound guy. And I think Dave Nonis will be invaluable to educating Shanahan throughout this process. And he would be the last guy I'd be looking to move.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
But what you got to be careful of here is, where does Nonis now fit on the list of GMs in Calgary?
Still employed by Toronto.
You know, but I'm sure he could get his release.
You think he would ask out?
I don't know. I'm just saying he's Brian. Like, Nonis has never applied for a job in his life. I mean, he got his first job through Brian Burke at the league office. He got his second job in Vancouver. And he's got his third job in Toronto. I mean, they've been a team, the two of them.
He was a consultant in Anaheim as well.
That's right.
There's a great story out of the gate this year. Was Colorado Avalanche with Patrick Waugh on opening night, banging on the glass, showing his team that he was there for them when Nathan MacKinnon was hit, going after Bruce Boudreau, and they just rocketed out of the gate. I didn't think you could get more impressive than that. But right now, the Colorado Avalanche, with two games left, they're tough games, but two games left, are leading the Central and are 1 point behind Anaheim for top spot in the Western Conference. Colorado is ahead of St. Louis by a tiebreaker and the Chicago Blackhawks, and could end up being
now
facing the second wildcard team.
Now I get it. Now I get it. When I sent my predictions in last night to Bob Torrens, and I didn't pick Colorado as one of my teams to win the cup.
Torrens is senior producer of hockey.
I was wondering why he was a little sensitive about it when I picked L.A. and Boston in
the
finals.
Did you not see the example he attached to it?
Yeah. I get it now. No, you know what?
Colorado.
Patrick has done... There's a couple people that deserve a lot of credit for what's gone on in Anaheim. Patrick is one of them. But you think back, and Dater talked about it. The Varlamov trade with George McPhee and the Washington Capitals was an unbelievable trade and really questioned a first-round pick at the time, and it could have been a lottery pick, to be quite honest, because we saw how big. And then the drafting of Landeskog, and I know they were high picks. I get they were second overall, but the O'Reilly pick was a second-round pick. Landeskog, MacKinnon, I mean, those are four. Duchesne.
So Sherman did a hell of a job.
Well, I would say Brad Smith. Their scouting staff, their amateur scouting staff.
That's not a guarantee of success. Edmonton is proof of that.
No, I know that.
So look at where they've gone in 1 year.
No, I know. It's a great story. But those five kids I just mentioned, including Duchesne, have been, and Eric Johnson, have been pretty responsible.
What's the difference between Edmonton and Colorado? The
type of players. Like Taylor Hall is the type of player they have. Eberle and Nugent Hopkins aren't. Because they're Nugent Hopkins is going to be a heck of a player. I think he's going to be a heck of a player. But Landeskog, O'Reilly, Duchesne are just a little more NHL ready than a Yakupov, a Nugent Hopkins, and an Eberle. They're just more NHL style ready.
No, I think we've seen
it. Because last year they were terrible. Last year,
no, I know, but. They were terrible, but
as a team.
But these guys have become the key parts to this team. They were secondary guys there for the first few years, but they became primary guys. Duchesne's a primary guy. Riley's a primary guy. Landeskog's a primary guy. They became primary guys real fast. And Patrick Waugh did an amazing job.
I want to know how much influence he's had on this turnaround.
A lot.
I'll tell you what, he sent a powerful message that night when he was. Almost knocked the glass over on Bruce Boudreau. It was a message that nobody's pushing us around, and he established the culture for that team.
But he, what he also did is he came in there and he took charge. If you think back to his press conference, it was a real impressive press conference. This was before the glass. I remember talking about the way he walked into his press conference, and he took charge that day, and he sent a loud message to his players. And not only that, but you can tell they've done some teaching there. Like there's a lot of teaching going on. This guy has done a great coaching job. And, you know, we said it at the time that this guy paid his dues. 8 years of major junior coaching. For a superstar to do that,
but he also showed incredible arrogance for a first-year coach to want to have control of the hockey department. And he got it.
Yeah.
And
well, that was and he condition delivered. Of employment.
Yeah, and he delivered on it.
Yeah, except I bet you if you really knew what was going on there, he's taking lots of advice from his personnel people. You don't walk in and make every decision because you don't know the league. You don't. It takes. So you've got a management team in place there. And I guarantee you he set the tone there where he's taken advice and give and take. He would comment on the guys he knows, but he would take good advice from there from his management. Yeah. That's what it's
He's
all
a smart
about.
Guy.
It's all about a team, even at the coaching and management level.
He set himself up for so many second guessers to chime in.
Yeah,
and he delivered.
But,
yeah,
Patrick, Smith. But that's the way he played.
Yeah.
Now,
that's Patrick.
But here's the way it goes. Here's the way it goes in coaching. Now he's got to have a great playoff.
Does he?
Yeah, sure he does, because if he doesn't, if he goes out in the first round, then next year going in the playoffs, they say, well, can Patrick coach in the playoffs? That's how it works. That's what goes on in this business.
Well, you're always doubted. Hey, you're always doubted unless you win.
And they got, but you know what? They've got the makings of a good organization.
I think they've overachieved already, and if they lose in the first round,
But you know,
St. Louis is the team that's
under nobody's going to criticize them if they lose in the first round this year.
No,
but
not
Doug's
this
point,
year.
Next year when they get to the postseason,
that's when it happens.
Can he do it?
It's the Bruce Boudreau scenario.
Show me. We have Louis Jean coming up from TVS Sports, Habs reporter. Will chime in on the Montreal Canadiens going to the Stanley Cup postseason representing Canada. And Ryan Smith, just a quick thought, guys. Ryan Smith is going to announce his retirement this afternoon. He will play his final NHL game tomorrow.
Oh, I just heart and soul guy. I mean, he just gave it his all. I mean, the number of times that kid played hurt, take a beating and come back out and just go for it
One
again.
Of the best tipping guys in front
of
that.
Yeah, just stand in front of that, get totally punished. Just a great leader, heart and soul guy, and a terrific guy on top of it all.
Yeah, you think Edmonton Oilers, you think of him, and you think of what I admire. He was a star in the league. And then he had to play a supporting role the last few years. Hard on the head. No doubt it drove him crazy. Had to go through like a ton of coaches. I just think he's a pro's pro is what he is.
Yeah.
A pro's pro. A guy that has a lot of respect by his teammates and also the opposition.
And played for his country.
A lot.
Captain Canada.
A lot.
Every request.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
You hate to see, you know, when you've got a young group, it's important to have the right mentors. I don't know what Ryan's like as a mentor. I would have thought he would be pretty good, but those are losses when you've got a lot of young kids to lose key people.
I guess he's not going to the World Championship this year. He's going to announce his retirement. Be a cool way to go out.
Well, he could say except for international competition.
He's retiring from the NHL.
But when we continue, Louis Jean, we'll get the Montreal Canadiens angle. Weekend left of the Stanley Cup, before the Stanley Cup playoffs, and the Canadiens get the Rangers. While the Tampa Bay Lightning play Columbus tonight and Washington tomorrow. Let's check that one out. We'll chat about the Canadiens on Hockey Central, presented by Lexus on the Park and the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Back at the Hockey Central, Darren Millard, Scott Morrison, and Doug McLean. HC presented by Lexus in the Park and the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks. Congratulations to our buddy Mike Keenan, who's in the KHL Championship Series.
Yes.
I wonder if he ever gets back. One more shot?
How many teams has he coached? 12?
I don't think it's quite that many.
What would it be? It must be 8 or 10.
Well, Philly, Chicago.
Boston.
Florida.
St. Louis.
Florida.
Vancouver.
Calgary.
There's 7.
Yeah, so
we might be missing one.
That's pretty good. So, yeah, it'd be good to see him get back and get another chance.
A little less than 12. It'd
be nice to see him and Neil Smith get back together and rebuild, rekindle that 94 run, the Rangers
Louis Jean from TVS Sports. Montreal is going into the Stanley Cup playoffs. They will face the Tampa Bay Lightning. Don't know whether this series is going to open up in Tampa or Montreal, because Montreal lost last night to the New York Islanders. That was an odd one, wasn't it, Louis?
It was, and it was probably a bit predictable when you look at the amount of rookies the Islanders had. Perhaps the Canadians thought it was going to be easy, but it never is in the NHL. With all the parity and guys vying for jobs come the off season. So, yeah, it was a bit of a letdown, I think, for the Montreal Canadiens, but they can make up for it tomorrow night against the New York Rangers. It's their season finale, and then they get set for the postseason.
Well, did Canadians almost overthink it? Because they left half the roster home when they went to Chicago, and it almost seemed like they were sitting back and waiting for this one, looking at it as a sure thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's exactly what happened. You know, on paper, Montreal should have absolutely just pummeled the Islanders, but it's one of those things that you see, and you see it often in the towards the end of the season, especially when teams are eliminated. Guys are still proud. Pride. You know, they're proud of what they do. They want to finish strong. I think it was Chris Neal that said the other day, if you're going to play the games, you might as well win them. And so, hey, it's the same for the New York Islanders. And let's face it, they could have a lot of major changeover during the offseason. I mean, there's some, you know, a lot of guys that are looking to get a job with that team. There's some young guys that are pushing and trying to make make their way onto the roster. So I think that's exactly what we saw. And Montreal Canadiens didn't show up. They were playing the night before in Chicago, so they probably thought it was going to be easy, and it never is.
Louis, did you get a chance to interview Brett Gallant after the game, after he dropped George Parros, the PEI boy?
I did not, but okay. I remember in training camp asking Gerard if there was any relation. He said, nope. I don't know how many Gallants there are in PEI, but
there's 90,000 Gallants on PEI, and very few of them related.
So he's two for two.
Yeah. Louis.
Yeah, he is. Brett's two for two in his NHL career.
Oh, no, big time. So, Louis, to blow that one last night, and I know they get another chance, like home ice in this series, this is a pick'em series, and I know Bishop's out, obviously, right now. You don't know what's going to happen there, but in a pick'em series, you want home ice.
Yeah, it's funny because talking to a bunch of guys, they say it doesn't really matter for game one or two. It's actually easier to start on the road, but game seven, even a game five, Brian Gionta was saying the other day, you know, game five makes a difference because usually you can close out a series in five, but obviously seven is the one you want to play in front of your own fans. So you're right. Did they lose a great opportunity? Absolutely they did. But they could try and make up for it tomorrow night against the New York Rangers. But I think ultimately they just want to feel confident in the way they're playing, which they are right now. They've got the big line with Vanek and Pacioretty and Dernais that they have tremendous confidence in. I mean, those guys, when they're going, they're absolutely dynamite. They might be one of the top lines in the NHL right now. And so, yeah, I mean, home ice is something you absolutely want. It's something that I think the coaching staff is preaching and has really said that they absolutely have to thrive for. But on the flip side, as you mentioned, I mean, with the Chicago Blackhawks a couple of nights ago, I felt it was more important to rest Yemelin and Markov and Price. And so it also sends a bit of a message to your locker room that the most important thing is let's finish strong, regardless of the results, and let's just make sure that we're solid come postseason.
What kind of roster do you think they'll ice tomorrow night against the Rangers, knowing what the scenario is?
Oh, they're going to go with their full team. I mean, they've got Galchenyuk who's out. So barring injuries, they're going to go with their top guns. There's no question. Price is going to be between the pipes for Montreal. Remember last year, Price had the option to finish the season out against Toronto, and he said, you know what, I think I'd rather just rest. And I don't think that sat well with the head coach and the coaching staff, but they said, all right. And remember, Price had really been struggling towards the end of the year, so I don't think it was his option this year. I think they said, you're going to get Chicago off, so you won't have to travel, won't have to go and sleep on the road on an uncomfortable bed, but you're going to be playing the final two games of the season. We want to make sure that you're in top shape, and chances are things start off on Wednesday for the Canadiens. At least that's the scenario if they start at home. So they wanted him to get that start on Saturday.
Louis, I'm excited about the beds on the road.
Louis.
Excited about the comfortable beds.
You've seen where these players stay. There's not an uncomfortable bed.
No, Louis just slammed the Ritz-Carlton. He just slammed the Four Seasons of the Ritz-Carlton, wherever they stay.
So forget about the beds. Then think about going to Sochi, Russia, and not going 2 weeks spending it on the beach in February. So maybe that's the difference.
That is true. Okay, we know you got to fly. We appreciate it. We'll be tapping into your knowledge and And your opinions as we continue to...
And hospitality,
and what about tapping into his expense account? He's a big hitter now, a TV star in Montreal. Is he going to treat us when we're in the Montreal and Tampa?
We'll find out.
We'll see. We'll
it would be a first.
Doug McClain, the alligator arms. It's your turn, man.
No, he's called you
He called me out there, Louis. Louis-Jean.
There's Louis-Jean of TVS Sports. And again, Hockey Central at noon will be on the road during the first round as we follow the Montreal Canadiens throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs. So we'll start with the first round. I think that's logical. Don't know whether we'll be in Tampa Bay or Montreal. We'll also be part of Connected and Hockey Central tonight.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, Lord.
Wow.
Happy birthday.
Nick Kiprios coming into the studio.
I'm not very happy about this.
Happy birthday, dear Dougie.
Oh, the magic number on there, too.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much.
This I had it on good authority that you were telling people that you were 58.
58, yeah.
But that's not true.
54.
Well, if they
54. Thank you very much. I saw you out there. I was wondering what you were doing hanging out.
If they put all the candles on it, we'd have to have the fire department here just in case.
Phil's here as well.
Phil, nice to meet
you. This is Phil.
Should I know? Are you taking my place or what?
I don't think so. Oh.
I thought maybe he's my replacement. They're bringing him in at the same time.
So Kippy comes in with a cake. Doug McClain's 60th. Who are you?
Yeah, Phil? Where the hell did you come from?
Well, Nick just introduced myself.
Nice.
Oh,
so good. Some TV time.
He's the NBC page.
I was supposed to round up the gang. Oh,
and but there's nobody here.
Nobody could.
There's no gang. Grabbed Phil.
Nobody'd show up.
What department are you in, Phil?
The traffic department.
Traffic department.
Oh, good.
Phil from the traffic department is here to sing you happy birthday.
Phil, how's the traffic going to the airport? Because that's where I'm going in 5 minutes.
Okay.
Phil.
Should have got Rosa in.
Hold on. Before you get into this. We're finger cooking lunch today. We ordered online at bostonpizza.com. Boston Pizza's hand-pressed dough is made in-house every single day. So we have Boston Pizza and some gifts.
And we do. We got some wine for you.
Wow.
A $60 bottle of wine.
Vintage. From the vintage. I like that.
We got a glass for you that could fill the whole bottle.
I need that.
Cheese whiz because Jack has disappeared on you.
What's it mean, hand blown?
Jack Hewitt from Kraft.
Yeah. Nowhere to be found. Glass. So I got you your own cheese whiz.
Is it spicy?
And what else?
That could be Jill right now.
What else do you have there? If you're in your car, this is a live
wine
birthday
gum,
party.
Because no one wines more than you. You get it?
That's
Phil,
very
what
nice.
What did you bring, bud?
I have a lighter.
Stomping Tom.
Oh, my God. Look, this is one of my all-time best birthdays.
And a $60 gift certificate to Starbucks, so you don't have to like you're... You have to go to the bathroom and not spend any.
Wow.
But when you drink GP8 sport water.
Exactly. Kippy, you've done more for Mac's 60th birthday than you have Anne Marie's birthday at any year.
Yes.
And Phil?
And Anne Marie bought this.
Hey,
would have picked this
Phil.
Out.
Phil,
thanks.
It.
Really nice to meet you, Phil.
Phil, your national TV.
Phil from traffic is here.
Debut.
Phil, come to my next birthday, too.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, give him a hug,
nice
Phil. Give him a hug.
Come on. You haven't been to PEI before, Phil?
No, I haven't.
You've got an open invitation.
Days. So you're 60, Doug.
59.
You're 60, Doug.
59. But anyway.
So you're 60. So what do you...
It's the 30.
That's the gambler right there.
Are you going
to... Want to show everybody?
Oh, that's nice. Oh, nice card.
This is brutal.
Can you...
I was hoping this is going to slide by.
Can you do us a favor? Move the wine glass and blow out the candles before we start a fire.
I made my wish. I made my
Phil
wish.
Phil from traffic.
Is it? What's bigger, Max 60th or Phil in his TV debut, radio debut? Phil, you're hired. You're funny. strange, funny.
Stephen Colbert.
Maybe it's
over yet.
Okay.
Remember, Monday morning. Phil, we're on the air at 11 a.m. with the introduction of Brendan Shanahan through Hockey Central at noon, and then Monday night, 8 o'clock local time with the NHL playoff preview. Thanks for this. Enjoy the cake.
Thanks a lot. I really
appreciate
it.
Enjoy the
pizza. You guys are a real team. Thank you.
Enjoy the weekend, everybody. Last of the regular season.